Well, we're going to start in the New Testament just for this session. And it's in Romans chapter 8. And Paul starts in this chapter by saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." How does a person get in Christ Jesus? Well, according to the religious world, you give your heart to Jesus, you believe he died for you on the cross and so on, and by that means you get in Christ Jesus. But that's not true. The fact is that you are in Christ Jesus from creation. You're in Christ Jesus from creation. You were created in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2 verse 10, which says that your body was formed in your mother's womb. You are God's workmanship in that regard, but also that you were created in Christ. Christ was the first man that was created by God. That was Christ Jesus, and you were created in him. So you've never been out of Christ. No person has ever been out of Christ because they were created in Christ, you see? But of course, if that's not your consciousness, if that's not the reality of your life, well then, of course, it's not working anything for you. In other words, has no real value, the fact that you're in Christ. But if you're in Christ, that means that whatever Christ has or whatever belongs to him belongs to you. See, the religious world tells us that the world is lost and we're supposed to go out and try and save the world. Well, just for a moment, if you turn back into the book of Psalms and have a look at Psalm 24, you'll notice here that in verse 1 of Psalm 24 it says, "The earth is the Lord's." Now, according to the religious world, the devil owns the earth. You know, that he kind of beat up Adam in the Garden of Eden and he sort of took over the reins and it belongs to him. Rubbish. The earth is the Lord's. He never lost it. That's the first thing. Then it says, "And the fullness that's in the earth belongs to the Lord." What's in the earth? The gold, the silver, the diamonds, the precious stones, the coal, the minerals, the oil, everything belongs to the King, Jesus Christ. See? And then, that's not the end either. The next thing it says is, "And all those that dwell on the earth belong to the King." 6.5 or 6 billion people on this earth belong to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know who's lost out there, because they all belong to him. They all belong to him. So there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And yet in most church services, you will be told constantly, you're a sinner. You don't pray enough. You don't worship God enough. You don't give enough to God. All these things, you're still failing, you see. So you still got to get things right with God. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Then there's no condemnation. If people try to put it on you, don't receive it, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. The Apostle Paul said that a Christian is somebody that is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, that is, your consciousness is that you are a part of the Christ, then he said you are a new creation. That new creation, of course, is not the creation of the natural carnal man, but is the creation of the immortal Christ in you. That's who you are. So he says here now that there are two laws. So we just want to share a little bit about these laws today. In verse 2 it says, this is chapter 8 of Romans, the law of the Spirit of life. There's a law which governs the Spirit of life. Not a law, a legal law, in the sense that some man has written this down and said you can't do this or you can do that or you can't do something else. No, there's a law to the Spirit of life. And that law is set by God, so that it's not in the hands of men. Nobody can tell you you are a Christian, or you belong to God, or whatever, or that you are not a Christian and you don't belong to God. You see? Because the law of the Spirit of life is in the hand of God. And every one of you have received life from God. Everybody, every one of you here have received God's life. So therefore, the law of the Spirit of life resides with God, not with you. You don't determine whether you have life or not. God determines whether you have life or not. And it goes back to creation. And in creation, God created you in his likeness and image. Then in chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 7, the Lord God gave you a body. And at that time, he breathed into that body the breath of life. So now, that's the law of life. In Christ Jesus, and when that law functions, the law of sin and death is put out of action. Now there's a very simple illustration for this that you will understand. When I left Australia, I left in one of those 777s, a big plane. They carry about nearly 400 people, I think it is, and they're, you know, you, if you'd ride at the back of the plane, you can look right up through there, and it's as long as a football field, you know. Seems so big. And you think to yourself, how in the world can this thing fly? Well, it's very interesting, because here's your perfect illustration of what we're talking about. You see, Christians are always fighting something. You're fighting sin, or you're fighting some thing in your life that you want to get rid of, or you're fighting something else out there that's hurting you or causing you problems. We're always fighting something. But in God, there's nothing to fight. It says here that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So sin and death are not an issue. We're not here to be fighting sin and death for the rest of our life, because God has already established a law which overrules the law of sin and death. So now, I'm sitting in this big plane, and we taxi down to the end of the runway, and he points the nose in the direction we're going. And he tells the hostesses, sit down for takeoff, ready for takeoff. And next thing you hear the roar of the engines. And this thing starts to scream down the runway. A very interesting thing begins to happen. You see, we have on this earth what we call gravity. Gravity which holds you on the earth. Do you realize that we are on a ball? The earth is round. It's like a big ball. And when I'm in America, they always talk about Des is from down under. Why? Because if you look at a globe, Australia is kind of hanging on this bottom half of the globe. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world do we stay there? And I'm kind of walking, you know, with my head out there and my feet in here. How is this, you know? Well, that's gravity. God has so arranged gravity that it holds us on, if you like. Okay, so gravity says to the plane as it's going down the runway, you're not getting clear of me. I got hold of you. You're going to stay on the ground, you see. This is gravity talking here. And you're about 70 or 80 tons of plane. And if you think you're going to get off the ground, you're wrong. I'm going to hold you here. But as it gathers speed, another law begins to operate that is greater than the law of gravity. It's called the law of aerodynamics. The shape of the wing. How that the wind hits the front edge of that wing, and as it goes over, it rises off the wing and exerts such a pressure on the wing, lifting it. That's how aerodynamics works. And the next thing, you feel the bumps stop and the wheels underneath, you hear them go clonk up there, and we're flying. What's happened to gravity? Nothing. Is gravity still working? Yes, sir. Because if those two big engines stop working, it'll fly like a stone. Chung. And gravity says, I've got you. Gravity does not stop operating. For the whole flight from Brisbane, 7.5 hours to Singapore, gravity saying, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm still here. And if those engines stopped, gravity would have us. And we'd be on the ground in a crash. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And some of you have been fighting it all the time, haven't you? You've been fighting sin in your life. You've been fighting even death in your body. You get something wrong, then you say to the doc, come on, help me, get rid of this thing. I don't want to die yet. When God has said to you, I have already arranged a law. And that law is greater than the law of sin and death. What do you have to do? Nothing. Except to accept and function under the law of life in Christ Jesus. But see, so many Christians are not living under that law. So many Christians are living under the law of sin and death. And the law of the Spirit of life is not functioning in them. Go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 1. And here there's a little parable. And in this parable, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm talking to those people that are under the law, and that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now he's talking about the law of marriage. All right, this is Romans chapter 7, verse 1. He's talking about the law of marriage. And he says, that law has dominion over the man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he's alive. Okay? So this is a little parable here now, and Paul is using marriage now as the basis of the parable. And he said, if you marry, then he said, as a man, you are bound to your wife for as long as you live. That's from God's point of view. Of course, today we've got a thing that we call divorce, separation. And you can go to a judge and you can get a separation order. And so you're not married anymore. But see, from God's point of view, you're bound for life. So, it says here, but if the husband is dead, what happens? The woman is released from the law of her husband. And she can go get married again. You see? Now, this is going back, of course, to the Jewish laws. And the Jewish laws said that while the husband is alive, the woman is bound to the husband. So if she goes to try and marry somebody else or has a relationship with another man, then that's adultery and that was wrong. Now, we're dealing with laws again. But he says, if the man dies, then the law that binds him to a husband, that binds the wife to him, it's annulled. It doesn't work anymore. If the man is dead, she's free. The woman is free. So in this case, the parable, the husband is the law. And Israel, the Israelites, were basically married to the law of Israel. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, whatever. Ten commandments. They were bound by those Ten commandments. Sin was not a question of what you think sin is, but it was outlined, Ten commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have any other gods except me. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not kill. So on and so on. So Israel was married to the law. And that law remained in force in Israel's history as long as the law remained. But the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus Christ was the end of the law. He was the end of the law. When he came into this world, he was the end of the law. When he died on the cross, that was the end of the law. Why? On Mount Sinai, when Israel was traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up on the mountain and talks with God. And God said to him, bring up two pieces of stone, because I'm going to write a law on those pieces of stone. So he does, takes up these two pieces of stone, and God writes the law on those two pieces of stone. Thou shalt, thou shalt not, and so on. And Moses starts to walk down the mountain again back to Israel, and he's got these two pieces of stone in his hand. And as he goes down, he hears a great commotion going on down there where Israel is, down in the midst of the camp. And as he looks down, he says, my goodness, they're all dancing there. And what are they dancing around? They've got a golden calf there. And they are worshipping this golden calf. And he's holding the law of God, which says, thou shalt not have any other gods bar me. And what does Moses do? He drops them and they break. The law was broken before they even got it. The law of Israel was broken before they even got it. So Moses comes down and he grinds up the gold and so on and gets stuck into them and tell them how wicked they were, and they all repent and ask God to forgive them and so on. And God asked him to come up again. Actually, he went up several times. But God said, come up again and bring two more pieces of stone. So Moses does. He picks up two more pieces of stone and he takes them up, and God writes his law on them again. Here's the law not broken again now. And so he's headed off back down the mountain. God said, just a minute, Moses. Don't give the law to Israel. I want you to put the law in the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant represented Christ, the Lord of all the earth. That's why he went before Israel in all of their journeys. The Ark went in the front. It led the way. That was the Lord, the Christ of God, the owner of everything. And so he said, don't give the law to Israel. Put them in the Ark, because the Ark represented Christ. So when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived for about approximately 33 and a half years on this earth. Did he ever sin? No. What did he do? He fulfilled the law. What does that mean? It meant that he kept the law completely, totally, utterly. He kept the law. He never failed in one little tiny bit, but he fulfilled the law to the satisfaction of his Father. You understand that? Now, everything that happened to Christ, then it applies to us. So that first man was Christ Jesus. But he took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or rather the man with the body. He took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam. But of course it was Eve, actually. And when he took the fruit of that tree, he became mortal. He said, I'm naked. And of course he ended up outside the garden, and he's fighting with the thistles and the thorns and everything else, trying to grow enough food to feed himself and his family and so on. Okay. But Jesus Christ kept the law. You were created in Christ Jesus. You've never been out of Christ. Christ is, you have been in Christ for all of those years. You see, your life did not begin when you were born into this world. Your life began back in the beginning when God said, let us make man. So, in Psalm 90 and verse 1, it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. It means that you and I were in the bosom of the Father. I don't know for how many years, how many thousand years, how many million years, I don't know. But we were in the Father until one day Father said, I need to send you down to the earth. I need somebody down there. And remember in Isaiah chapter 6, it was Isaiah that heard that, heard the Lord say that, and he said, I'll go, Lord, send me. Well, I don't think I had any say much in it. But Father one day said, I'm going to send you down to the earth, talking to me. And I was born in a little country town in North Queensland. And that's not when my life began. My life began when God said, let us make man. There's the man. That's when my life began. But it was in Christ. It was in Christ. It was in Christ. Why am I stressing this? Because you are still in Christ. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, one of the things was that he did, he fulfilled the law of God. And yet the church is still preaching law. Still preaching law. You sinned, you did this, you did that, you did something else. You see? And so law becomes our taskmaster again. And we end up marrying the law. And now we've got to try and placate God because we have broken the law. We've broken the law. Okay. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Chapter 2 and verse 14 of Romans. And he says here, when the Gentiles which do not have the law, at Mount Sinai there was no Gentile people. The law was given to Israel, not to the Gentiles. So therefore the law does not apply to the Gentile people. The law does not apply. When I'm in America, I do quite a bit of driving over there. And of course they drive on the right hand side of the road just the same as you do here, which is really the wrong side. We drive on the right side, but it's the left side in Australia. See? It's the opposite. But if I drive down the left side of the road in America and the policeman stops me and said, you know, you've broken the law. I say, no, come on. I haven't broken the law. What have I done? Well, you drove down the left-hand side of the road. And the law says that you are to drive down the right side of the road. And I say, no, no, I'm from Australia. We drive on the left side of the road. And he says, Mr. Wilder, you're not in Australia now. You're under American law while you're here. You see? So I just use that as an illustration. So here we are. We are today in Christ. What did Christ do? He fulfilled the law. Secondly, we are all Gentiles. We are not Israel. When Israel sinned, it was a legal issue because there was a law governing their behavior. For Israel, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt not, and so on. And that law bound Israel. So if they broke the law, then that sin was a legal offense. Now, if you have a law, you must have a judge. If you have a law and you have a judge, you must have a penalty. Otherwise, the law doesn't work. So Israel had a law, they had a judge, and God was their judge, and they had a penalty, and what was the penalty? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And of course, Christians have been taught this, and applies to them. That is Gentile people. It doesn't apply to us, because we were never under the law. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, in verse 19 of chapter 3 of Romans, we know that whatever the law says, it says to them that are under the law. We are Gentiles, we're not under the law. Therefore, the law has no power over us because we are Gentiles. That's the first thing. But you see, the religious world puts us all under the law. Say, well, you've broken the law. You've broken the law. And that is sin. No, not for us. There's no law that we are under. What does it say here? It says, by the deeds of the law, verse 20, this is chapter 3, no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If we're not under the law, then there is no knowledge of sin. None at all. And not only that, but he said the righteousness of God has nothing to do with the law. So our righteousness today is in Christ. Jesus Christ kept the law completely, utterly, and totally. So that at the end, he did not die because he was a sinner. He didn't die because he had broken the law, because he had kept the law perfectly. And you are in Christ. Therefore, you have kept the law. You understand that? It's a principle. You have kept the law. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over you. We're free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. Lord.
And I want to tell you, folks, that guilt in a person's heart is one of the most debilitating things that you can have. I know people that are in a psychiatric hospital today because of sin in their life, because they did something and they felt that God was very angry, of course, and that they were guilty before God, and their mind could not cope with it, and they're in a psychiatric hospital. And I told a woman one day, the day when you will just simply confess to God, whatever you happen to be, whatever you happen to do, God's going to say, I don't know anything about that. Because God has nothing to do with sin. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law completely. And so it says here, this is what Paul goes on to say in chapter 4. Listen to this, verse 15. The strength, because the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, there's no sin. Did you hear that? Where there is no law, there's no transgression. There's no sin. I want God to set you free this afternoon. It's a simple word. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what has made us free from the law of sin and death. Not you, not what you've done. It's not you giving your heart to Jesus. It's not you asking Christ to come into your heart. It's not you believing. It's not you worshiping God. God made a law. And that law completely overcomes the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, which is Christ in you, has made me free. You're free today, do you hear that? You're free. God does not hold one thing against you, not one. Now you're kind of looking at me, is this true? You better believe it. Jesus Christ kept the law. And as far as God is concerned, that's all he sees in you is Christ. That's all he sees. You're perfect. Sin is not an issue. I'm just going to cover one more point here for you this afternoon. What is sin for us? Because in Romans 3, verse 23, it says all have sinned. You say, well, that's blown up your whole theory, hasn't it, now? Because now Paul says, no, everybody has sinned. Yes. But what did they do to sin? That's what I want you to see. Did they break the law? No, because there wasn't any law to break. Well, then what did they do that is called sin here? The Greek word is harmatia or harmaton. That's what that word is in the Greek language. And it has nothing to do with the law. The word harmatia is a word that belongs to the sporting scene. It was a word that was used in the Olympic Games in Greece from way back. When the man that shot the arrows, if he missed the bullseye, they called out, harmatia, you sinned. What were they saying? You missed. You missed. It means simply to miss the mark. Nothing to do with law. Are you hearing this? From God's point of view, you have never sinned as far as the law is concerned. Got nothing to do with you. Because God has organized a plan whereby the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Yes, we have sinned. But what did we do? Did we break the law? Did we commit adultery? Did we commit fornication? Did we build an idol and worship it? Did we, all these things, did we steal something? No, no, no. What did we do? Every thought, every word, and every deed that you do is checked against a mark. Which is like I put a mark on that wall and I say that's God's standard, which is actually the standard of the character of Jesus Christ. And every thought, word, and deed that you have is checked against the standard of the character of Christ. So, what happens when you miss the mark? Because that's exactly what it means. In the Hebrew language, it means exactly the same. Exactly the same. It means it's like two roads and you take the wrong track. That's all. You're on the wrong road. You thought you were going the right way, but you took the wrong road. You should have been on this one. It's missing the mark. You say something that you should not have said. You abused your wife when you were angry over something and you were sorry about it afterwards, but you missed the mark. So what did God say? That's the end of you, mate. I'm finished with you. I don't think so. He said, you missed the mark. You notice that? You didn't act the way Jesus Christ acts. You acted out of your own self-being, not out of the Christ of your being, because he wouldn't have acted like that. You missed the mark. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. This is the Father speaking. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. And next time, you'll hit the mark. And if you don't, I'm going to help you again. I'm your father. I'm not your judge. Christians are living in bondage today because they think God is judging them about everything they do. It's like you've got a little black book. Ah, oh, I saw that. I saw that. I'm going to get you for that. Yeah. And he writes it all down. I don't think so. Because the law of life in Christ Jesus has has, not will do, but has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that law was sealed at Calvary. It was sealed at Calvary. And God does not see sin in you and I today. Why not? Because God established a law which said that the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who dwells in me, has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to die, and neither do you. You don't have to die. You see, people say, oh, but we've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Yes, that's right. That's what we did. That's how we sinned. We missed the mark. But God did not sentence us to death as a result of that, because that law was sealed at Calvary, the law of the Spirit of life. And how did it work? Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the lot. He paid the price, rather. He paid the price of missing the mark. He was the one that died. Did he have to die? No, he didn't do anything wrong. See, people are convinced, like the church teaches us, that Adam sinned in the garden. Adam sinned? Did God ever say, Adam, you're a sinner? You won't find it in the book. God never told Adam he was a sinner. What did God say to Adam? All he said was, who told you that you're naked? Because God said, I never told you. Well, if God never told him he was naked, then why did he even think he was naked? Because the carnal mind, you see, had done its work in him. And that's what's happened with us. The carnal mind has completely controlled us and lied to us. And the deception that Eve gave into in that garden is the same deception that has spread across the world. And Isaiah says that the day is coming when that net is going to be lifted off the nations, and the deception is going to be revealed, and all men are going to see that they are free. And that's going to save the world. It's going to change mankind. It's going to change it. So, beloved, today, as we just come to a close in this little session, because I didn't want to go into anything further tonight, today, I want you to know that that law of the Spirit of life is resident and functioning in every one of you. It's in you now, because that is the law of the Christ. God has put that Christ in you, because the law of the Spirit of Christ says that you are free. Just as Christ is free, so you and I are free. God does not hold one thing against you. I have friends back home that every time they get into a meeting where the Spirit of God is beginning to rise, they start to cry every time. And I say to them, why do you keep on crying? Oh, because I don't know, there's something in me that just wants to cry. I said, that's your sense of guilt. If every time I walked into my Father's presence, that's my earthly father, if every time as a boy I walked into my Father's presence and I cried, my Father would say to me, for goodness sake, can you be a little bit happy? Why, every time you come in here, you cry. Your heavenly Father must say that to some people. Come on, come in with a happy face. Why? You're free.
Amen.
You're free. The law of sin and death has been put out of action. It can't function because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Beloved, that's the truth. This afternoon, why don't you just thank the Lord? Say, thank you, Lord, you've made me free. Today I'm free, and I refuse to allow sin to dominate me again. I refuse to allow guilt to dominate my life, because I am free. I am free. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.